Good morning, and may the grace of God, peace, and mercy be with each one of you. It is a joy to be here with you. It's a joy to share with you this morning. It is also a responsibility, and I'd like to just, before we go further, I'd like if we'd bow our heads in prayer to ask God's presence. Father in heaven, this morning, here we are again in your house, and we just pray that your presence be here. Father, especially pray for anointing my lips that I might be able to share what you have for us. Guide me to bring these thoughts that you put in my heart, to put them in a good enough order and in a comprehensible way so that each one of us can gain from that. And Father, we just thank you for what you have done in each of our lives, the testimony we listened to this morning, Linwood, Father. And as we think of our own and as we think of others that we've heard, we just ask your blessing, Father. Would the testimony of Jesus be real in the hearts of yet many more people before that final day? Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just commit the service to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The message or the subject that I'd like to share this morning is so broad that it's going to be very impossible to give an unabridged or an in-depth or exhaustive presentation. And it's not my aim at all. I like, it's probably one of the greatest subjects or the thing most spoken about in the scripture, not quite, but almost. And I like to just like stimulate, look for more verses. The scriptures are just full of what I'm going to speak about. It's like what I want to speak about is almost like attempting to, if you speak about the natural creation, if you would think about what water has to do with our living here, water is so basic you could, about everything you'd talk about as far as biology or natural plants, animals, people, it involves water. Our bodies are about 70% water. Plants are a large portion of water. The water covers probably about 70% of the Earth's surface. And that's what sets this planet off of being different. It would be hard to talk about the creation without including water. And this sort of what I'm talking about this morning is going to be similar. And I like to, so like I said, just whet appetites, not be exhaustive. All right? Turn your Bibles to, you probably all know it by memory, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. We have three things mentioned here, three things that are so, all of these are great things and probably equally great things except for the fact charity, or as we think of love, is greater because God is love, and it's greater because love will endure forever. But these three things are so important, but I'd like to choose one of these. I'd like to talk about faith. Faith is something. I chose that song, Faith is a Living Power from Heaven. It was the last song before the opening, or before Linwood spoke there. Faith. That song came to my mind. Faith has so many aspects, so many things. And I like to title this morning, if you want to write that down. I didn't know how to title it because we weren't going to deal with everything about faith. But something like this, sound, unfeigned, saving faith. Sound, unfeigned, saving faith. Faith is something God gives to every man. And there's a faith that we can have in a secular way. If you don't have faith that your business is going to succeed, you probably won't go on with it. You don't have faith that that you can do something, you won't do it. And if you hear something, if you don't have faith in what that person says, you can say, ah, so much for his idea. But if you're convinced, you'll probably believe it. Faith is believing. Faith produces trust. Faith produces confidence, assurance, peace. Whereas the opposite of faith is what? Unbelief, distrust, suspicion, doubt, fear, discouragement. It's not fear. Fear comes when we do not have faith. Discouragement also. All these things are so connected with faith. And we can have a false faith. We can have one that's not sound. We can have a feigned faith. And we can have, there are, in the world, there was a famous writer that wrote a book, The Power of Positive Thinking. That was probably 40 years ago or 50 maybe. And we had it in our home and pretty impressed by it. It has some aspects about it that is more secular than spiritual, yet he was a minister of the gospel that wrote that. But what I liked about that book, instead of what all he proposed, was he recognized that we operate by faith. Secular, but God wants us to operate on a much higher spiritual faith. Jesus is concerned that our faith is not just a secular faith, not just a power of positive thinking. He wants our faith and trust to be set on Him. He wants to be the source of our faith and trust. And for us, for that faith that He has for us to do us any good, we have to receive what He has to say for it and believe it as truth. Faith is so important that Jesus said, "When I return, shall I find faith on the earth?" He asked that question. Will there be faith? The scripture is full of hold fast to the faith. And when you do, you will inherit the promises. The children of Israel didn't enter the land of Canaan because of what? Unbelief. In chapter 12, it said, let us, of Hebrews, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And we hear a lot about besetting sins, and it can be used in a lot of ways. But what is the sin that doth so easily beset us? If you look in the text there in Hebrews, they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief is what besets us. It's so easy to lose faith, especially when our faith is tried. We're going to notice that trying of faith a little bit later too. But I'd just like to look, we are told to fight the good fight of faith. The faith is described as a shield, as a breastplate. Faith is very important. Faith is something without which we cannot be saved, because faith accesses the grace. All right, I'd like to notice some verses here. Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift." Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing." What do we hear? The Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. In Romans 10:8 through 11, I might read that. Romans 10:8 through 11. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The heart believes. It's an assent. It's a belief. It's a receiving as truth. If you, long ago there, salesmen would come around to the house, to our houses, and they would have things to sell, and they would present it in such a believing way that they got many people to buy it, even though their product maybe was half again as expensive as what you could buy it in the store. People would buy it because they were convinced of the superiority of this faith. You trusted what he said. Okay. Now, I'd like to look at what Hebrews 11 has to say a little bit. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, scientifically, they'll tell you that the evidence and substance is something you can touch, feel, or sense with your senses. And I don't know how to place all this together. There are many things that we cannot sense with our senses, and there are things that we can sense with our senses. God is a person or a concept that we cannot touch with our natural senses. However, God, this faith gives us like spiritual senses that we can feel, that we can see, we can experience. We just have to accept it how it says here, faith is the substance. And anyone that has faith understands that substance. They understand. When you believe and are convinced about it, you realize and what you experience, there's a substance to it, even though scientifically they would counter that. And there's evidence. There's evidence. How much evidence do we see in a congregation of redeemed people? People that have had lives that were not good and changed. Evidence. Evidence. Now, Scripture also says we have evidence through the creation. We have evidence through a lot of other things. But faith, here it says, is the substance and the evidence of things not seen. And it goes further to say in verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, first of all, must believe that God is. And not only that he is. There are many, many people that, I believe in God. That he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our belief, our faith, is a choice. You don't have to believe what that salesman says. And the fact is, many people think they don't have to believe what God says. It does not change it. But we choose. We choose. When we hear the word of God, we become convinced. And faith is produced when we hear the word of God. It's one reason why it's so important to spread the gospel, so important to listen to the word, so important to preach the word, because that keeps faith there. We need faith on a constant basis. We cannot survive without faith. If a person naturally loses faith, probably the person that completely loses faith, we might say it would be that person that gives up on life and says there's nothing out there and seeks to take his own life. That would probably be a person that would be operating without faith. If naturally we have faith is so important in the natural life, how much more important is it we continually have faith in our spiritual life? We must have faith. Faith is a shield. Faith is a helmet. Faith is a protection. Faith is a... Without faith, impossible to please God. Now, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'd like to put in here, I don't know in the King James Version if there's only one time in the Old Testament that the word faith is used. It might be it's very, very, very few times. In Habakkuk 2:4 it says, the just shall live by faith. Now, does that mean the Old Testament doesn't talk about faith? No. If you look in the Old Testament, trust, confidence, assurance, it's just all through there. And you go through the Psalms, you can hardly read a Psalm without realizing faith is expressed there. Assurance, confidence. In Galatians 2:16 and 20, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Crucified means put to death. Put to death with Christ, yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Is that my testimony? Is that your testimony? Christ living in us. If we're dead, then our desires and our cravings and our aspirations and everything is yielded to God, because God lives in us. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Simple faith. Faith is so profound, yet so simple. So faith, live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And beyond that, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We don't gain favor with God by good works. God saves us, but we're saved unto good works. In Hebrews 2:12-2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author, the one that gives to us even the ability to have this vision beyond what's viewable with our earthly eyes, gives us this vision. He's the author and makes possible that through faith we have this access, like it says in Romans 5, access into this grace wherein we stand. He's also the finisher. I wonder a little bit, finisher, we think a lot of times finish is the end or just, but I like to think of it a little bit in a context, maybe slightly differently, the author and finisher of our faith. Author is someone that starts it, and a finisher, if you build a piece of furniture, it needs finishing. How's that finishing done? Perfecting, trying, sanding, taking off the rough spots. Author and finisher. God does not only start us. Jesus is not only the author, but he is also the one that faith carries us through our life and does all that smoothing up, that knocking off the hard, the rough spots, taking off all those things that aren't good. And finishes us too, so that it's a product that glorifies God. Don't think of ourselves as products, but I'm just saying we, God finishes us in a way that we can be pleasing to him. But it's through faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And says we should look to Jesus, because look what he went through. He endured the cross. He had to endure that shame, but he did not let that overcome him. He despised it and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." What does that mean to you? Faith, substance again. Faith is evidence again. How can that be? I don't know if I can. We believe in miracles. We believe in God doing what we can't understand. This may be one of those. Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Now that's what God's asking of us. Thomas was able to see Jesus. Jesus said, "Look, here's the prints, in the side." And Thomas just melted right down. He said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus just said, "Blessed are you if you, even without seeing, can do that." And that's us. That's us. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to everyone that believes." Faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." Don't give up. Stand fast in the faith. Faith is power. Faith is ability. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We'll notice a little later. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You are up against a huge enemy, but you are not without means to overcome him. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 Peter 1:18 through 21, maybe we'll just turn there. 1 Peter 1:18-21, it says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation," things that are seen, in other words, "received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory." And it says, "That your faith and hope might be in God." Our faith and hope has to be in God. We can put our faith and hope in other things, and people try to and do, but they are disappointing. They are not, there's nothing sure about it. Now we'd like to go on a little bit to just not make this long. Like I said, we cannot possibly cover all the aspects of faith. In James 1:3-7, it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now, whatever is trying of your faith, if God gives us the faith, gives us the ability to trust, to have faith in him, why would he want to try it? There's something special about that to him. We could look in Peter where it says, "It's more precious than of gold that perisheth." There's something about trying faith. God wants to check and make sure that our faith, and help us to get our faith centered on him to the point where we don't doubt. Doubting, unbelief is that besetting sin. That when things go well, it's easy to have faith. When they go tough, what happens? "Oh, I wonder if I did the right thing. I wonder if I'm doing the right thing. I wonder, should I be doing something else or be somewhere else? Or did I make the right decision to do this?" That's all in the category of doubt. And let me tell you, let me warn you, the enemy of our soul, that's the very thing he wants you to doubt. When you start to doubt, how do you feel? If you have a business and it's not prospering, you know the feeling, how it's tempting to doubt. Maybe I should have gone and done some other business. It's easy to doubt. We can do that in spiritual life too. Things get rough and we wonder, is it right? What is a trying of your faith? Just a few little hard things aren't really trials of faith. Faith is what comes when we believe something. And a trial is probably not really a trial unless it looks like all hope is taken away. Have you ever been in a situation where it just seemed like that there's just nothing left? I think we can probably think of that type of situation. When you're in that situation and still believe, that's what God wants. When you have the army of the Pharaoh behind you, the Egyptian army behind you, there are walls beside you, and there's a deep sea out ahead of you, they thought it was all over. They murmured. That's our nature. God wants us, He likes to test whether we're going to believe in Him. Why did they doubt in that moment? Had been delivered from Egypt in a miraculous way. This was just another miracle God was setting up to do for them. They come up here, ooh, they cried out. Now it's natural for us to cry out, but there is, God wants us to learn to trust Him when it looks like there's nothing left to trust. That is the type of faith that God wants. As far as I could tell, Moses didn't doubt. He was there. He said, march forward. The children of Israel had a lot of testings like that. They could have referred back to the last time. Same way with us. We could refer back to that time God answered in a special way when we thought all hope was gone. But we don't. We look at the present and now. God wants us to remember, trust me, I'm here. There's another thing here that I'd like to add to this. Here in James it says, but let patience have her perfect work. When we're going through a deep trial, don't get bent out of shape. Just let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, then ask of God. But it says, let him ask of faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. When we ask with doubt in our minds, then God says, I can't answer that type of prayer. We're to ask in faith. And again, faith, substance, evidence. How's it substance, evidence? I can't say. But experience, and I would dare say everyone that has experienced answered prayer knows, and also has lived a life of faith, knows that there's an evidence and there's substance there. Otherwise, what would we be here for? We're not following illusions. We're not following cunningly devised fables. We're following truth. We're following substance. We're following evidence. How? I'm not able to explain. Faith. Faith is something precious in the sight of God. It is not a blind faith. It is not one that I believe it in, even though everything says that it isn't. In other words, what I mean by this, there are people that believe something, even though it's obviously error. It's possible to believe even a lie. We have evidence. We have God's word. God's word is what produces the faith to start with. However, we have to remember, faith is to connect us to those unseen realities that God has shown to us through nature and through our very lives, through His Word, through experience, through many ways. God has shown us this. We have evidence. It is not a blind faith. It is not following an illusion. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. There is evidence there. That is, I am an analytical person, and to struggle with faith and to look at faith as something tangible, spiritually tangible, yet we accept it because it connects us with the unseen, that is something that has been real hard for my finite mind. I like to see things and put it in order and do this, and then this happens, and then this happens. And it's been a test for me to come to this and accept God's evidence, God's the substance God provides. It's there. There is something, when we have spiritual eyesight, we can see that. We can look beyond the here and now. We can look at the things which are not seen, because the things that are not seen are eternal. The things that we see, it says in Corinthians or somewhere there, it says, the things that we see are temporary, but the unseen things, and it says in First Corinthians 1, I think that God even uses the things that are not, or in other words, are unseen, to confound the wisdom of the earth. So I'm speaking of something that I hardly know how to use words to get this in a tangible or an understandable, because we use our five senses and we are used to testing our world with these five senses. So I'm talking of something. I like to just leave it here with a stimulus or like an incentive for you to just look further into this thing of faith. Faith is so important. 1 Peter 5:9 says, whom said resist, that's the devil, the adversary of our soul, the roaring lion, the dragon, whom resist steadfast in the faith, shield, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. When we're tested, when we're tempted, when we're whatever else comes, shield of faith, the breastplate of faith and love. First John 5:4 says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. So important, because there can be feigned faith, there can be unsound faith, there can be faith in the wrong thing, there can be even faith in a lie. It's very important that we have the real faith, that our faith and hope be in God. And faith, James makes clear that faith produces works, obedience. If you have faith, you will work. And we talk about the chapter of faith in Hebrews 11. And I love that chapter. I'm not sure if I included much more in those first two verses there, verses 1 and 6. But it's almost like Hebrews 11 is a works chapter. Now I want you to take me right on that. It's a faith chapter, but it's almost like it's works. Because what would have happened? Noah could have said, yep, I believe that the water's coming, the flood's coming. But he would have just sat there in his easy chair and wouldn't have made the ark. What would have happened with him? he's drowned. And Abraham said, well, yeah, that sounds like a good idea to go over into the promised land there, but I'm good here. I'll just stay here. He would never have received the promises. Each one of those things, the faith acted. So it's a faith chapter very much. But Abraham didn't say, well, this is a bad place. I'm going to go somewhere better than this, without God telling him or following what God had done. No, we can't. Noah could have said, well, I'm going to make a little yacht here. That should be good enough to get me saved. He wouldn't have followed God's direction. Wouldn't have believed exactly what God said and what he was supposed to do and everything. It wouldn't have worked. Work without faith doesn't work. But faith, if it doesn't produce a work of obedience, is nothing. So we can get that backwards. We can think, okay, if we do all these things, we're good. If we do it without faith, we aren't good with that. It won't work. If what you're doing is not being done because of what you understand God wanting you to do, it is nothing. And so if you have faith, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. And Romans makes clear, if you do works and without faith, works, doing works is you're doing something for a salary from God. Faith and what comes through faith, the access that we access the grace, is a gift. Now, when we receive this gift, we follow in obedience. Noah, all the other, you can go down the list there in Hebrews 11, all of them, because they believed, they saw a city without foundations, they followed. Abraham was able to go on and in essence sacrifice Isaac because it says there that he figured, well, God has a way to do it. So he was going to do it, kill his son in a sacrifice. God said, whoa, just a minute. Now I know your faith has been tried. You came through. Good. God tries us sometimes. Let's yield to that trying. Let's let patience have her perfect work, not doubt when we're tried. Let us go forward. Even the bad things that come to us, there are things that are bad that come to us that God allows. God does not create evil, but he allows things to come to us sometimes that are not good. But then he arranges it so that it's for our good. It was not good that Joseph was sold into Egypt, that his brothers sold him because of enmity. That was a sin. What did God do? He used that situation to do a mighty work there, save many people. God may just be doing that in your life. If you got something real tough to go through and you suffer because of what somebody else did, don't despair. Maybe God is using this situation to redeem some much greater thing. Faith even comes down to, I'm just going to read these verses without too much comment, even comes down to what we ask for. If we do not ask in faith, we're not going to receive. In Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. I'm just going to let the words speak to us. In Acts 3, when the lame man was healed in the temple, Peter used that occasion to testify to the people. And his name, through faith in his name, that's Jesus, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in presence of you all. In Matthew 17, 19 through 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, you were not able to cast out that demon, that child that the father brought the child to the disciples. They could not cast him out. Afterwards, the disciples said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus told them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Again, what do we say to that? And then Matthew 21:21, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this that was done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Wouldn't we all just love to do that? Why doesn't it work for us? According to your faith, be it unto you. I can't explain again anything there, but Jesus told Peter in Matthew 14:31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Peter would say, if it's actually you, Jesus, tell me to come on the water. And he went down in the water and starting to walk on the water. But then he saw his dangerous situation. He started to sink, and Jesus said, well, why did you doubt? He caught him and said, why, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And then another thing here, I'll just mention this in going through this. In Romans 14:23, even it says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever not of faith is sin. In our day, there's an excessive amount of emphasis placed on what you eat and what you don't eat. And I think the emphasis is taken away from the need, what we eat, choose what we eat, and then eat it in faith, receive it with thanksgiving, and it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If someone wants to do without eating something, fine. But don't doubt. Receive it in faith. If you receive it in faith, it probably transcends the occasional harmful food you might take in unknowingly or that you would eat otherwise. It's important, even if we do such a little thing as eat, that we do not doubt. Is doubt possibly causing a lot of sickness in our day? Could well be. I don't know what all is included in that where it says is damned if you eat, but it's probably referring first spiritually, but could it be otherwise too? And then we'll wrap up here. In Ephesians 3:17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, rooted and grounded in love. Christ even dwells in us by this. If we can have faith, if we can believe, then Christ dwells in us. It's the access again to the grace. Jesus dwells in us by faith. 1 Timothy 4:12, there's a verse here that I always, from my youth up, just so appreciated. Let no man despise thy youth. Or don't give any occasion for anyone to despise your young years. Be thou an example of the believers, or a sample of what a believer is, if you will. And I'm going to choose that. There are five things there, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six things here. I'm going to choose faith. We're talking about faith. Don't let any man despise your youth. Don't give any occasion to despise your youth. Be a sample, be a real example of what a believer is. Faith. Faith that's going to help you to see beyond the grave. If you would have to even suffer martyrdom, what does it matter? There are examples. You look in the martyr's mirror, if you will. Youth as young as 13 years of age did not give up their faith. They kept on. Be an example of the believers. Hebrews 10:22-23 says, let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. our faith. How is it? Is it weak? Is it full of assured? That's what God wants. That's why he tests us sometimes. That's why he takes us through things. He wants us to have a faith that is strong. One man said, Lord, increase my faith. That should be our prayer. Increase my faith. I want that full assurance of faith. I want to not doubt. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. I like that. The Old Testament sacrifices couldn't cleanse the conscience. They did cleanse, make atonement for the sin, but even all the way down to our conscience, this faith, this access into this grace gives us full assurance of faith. And it, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Then it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Profession of our faith is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And it says, for he is faithful that promised. In Revelation 21:8, it mentions the fearful and the unbelieving will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire. And to close, I'd like to turn to Hebrews 6 again. I read this once here, but I'd like to notice this again. Hebrews 6. Verse 11 and 12. Maybe I didn't read this. I'm going to start in verse 9 through 12. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. You could go back and read that first part of Hebrews 6. Then it goes on in 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The Old Testament saints didn't inherit the promises. They did, but I mean they didn't receive them in their fullness. They received it because they looked ahead. But we can receive this promise. When Jesus came, that was what they looked forward to. And based on that, they received their faith, saved them. And now we, through faith and patience with them, can inherit the promises. Let us not lose that faith. And now I want to just show you just one more thing yet. At the beginning, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Our faith is the access. It's our defense. Hope is the anchor of our soul, it says in Hebrews 6. And charity, or love, is God is love. Where God is love. These three things are together and almost inseparable. Almost inseparable. We could do faith, possibly, it says there in that chapter, without love. And we could have maybe hope, or we could even do deeds of charity, like giving all our goods to the poor. We might do that without love. But love is what, if we have faith without love, it won't be any use. Where God is love. And so love is everywhere. Love should be the motivator all through our faith and our hope. Without that motivation, it's nothing. So if God is everywhere, have to think of those that reject the love of God. There is a place where the love of God, where the presence of God isn't. The evildoers will be separated from the presence of God, it says in 1 Thessalonians 1 or 2, somewhere in there. Separate, excluded from the presence of God, it says in Spanish. God, the place prepared for the devil and his angels, there's no love there. Everywhere else, there's love, there's mercy. Faith in this mercy is what gives us life. I think I'll just leave it there. Faith, there's so much more we could say about faith. Faith is just, it's just like I said, it's about as essential, about so connected in the whole scripture as water is to our existence here on this earth. And what separates and differentiates from the planets, there's water here. And so faith, study it. Keep the faith, fight the good fight of faith. Don't resent the trial of your faith. Be firm, true unto the end. Go forward. When you're going through hard times, remember, God may be well doing something that we don't see yet. Faith gives us a vision that pierces beyond the grave. Faith makes us understand what we can't see now. God bless you.